Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference call. At that point, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star and then one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now I will turn the meeting over to Ms. McConkie. Ma'am, you may now begin.
Thank you, Eric. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's webinar. My name is Chris McConkie, and I'm one of the organizers for today's call. Today's webcast is presented by the Illinois Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health, and the Illinois Mental Health Collaborative. The title of today's webinar is Intelligence Connect Upgrade Training. The presenters will be Dr. Mary Smith, Associate Director of Decision Support, Research, and Evaluation for the Division of Mental Health, and Cheryl Masalunas, Reporting Manager for the Collaborative. Today's training is being provided as the Intelligence Connect system will undergo a system upgrade soon in order to meet the ever-growing reporting and analytic needs of our users. The new platform will provide an updated user interface, new functionality, and improved performance to all users in addition to improvements in the underlying hardware. Today's webinar will be useful to new users as we will provide Intelligence Connect training, which will also serve as a refresher for those familiar with Intelligence Connect. In addition, we will point out the highlights of the updated interface. Before we begin the formal presentation, I would like to review with everyone a few housekeeping items. If you happen to get disconnected from the audio portion, please call back into the same number you just dialed, which is 1-800-857-3793, and the passcode is Illinois. The visual portion of this presentation is web-based. Of course, you can choose the audio portion only, but if you would like to see the webinar PowerPoint presentation, the login information is located on the invite you received after you registered. If you are experiencing any problems with that particular link to join, you can go to www.joinwebinar.com and enter the webinar ID directly, which is 501-959-890. There will be a designated question and answer portion at the end of today's presentation. The operator will open the lines for questions at that time. Lastly, at the conclusion of the presentation today, we ask that you please complete the brief satisfaction survey that will appear when you close out of the online forum. It should take less than 5 minutes to complete the survey, and we value your feedback. I will now turn the call over to Dr. Mary Smith from DMH.
Thanks, Chris. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. You know, as Chris said, and as the email said, Intelligence Connect is undergoing an upgrade, and so we thought this would be a perfect time to give you a heads up on the new look as to give you a little bit of a refresher. We know that many of you have used Intelligence Connect, but we also know that there's sometimes turnover with staff, so again, this is another good opportunity to get some refresher training. So at this point, let me turn it over to Cheryl Masalunas. She is the reporting manager at the Collaborative. Cheryl?
Thank you, Mary. As Mary and Chris both stated, the business intelligence platform that Intelligence Connect runs off of is undergoing an upgrade, and today's training will include the regular Intelligence Connect training along with highlighting the new functionality included in the upgraded platform. One item to note is that there are no changes to the actual reports themselves. All report formats and data elements within the reports remain the same. The only change that we're seeing is with the platform that is used to access the reports that are, and that's what's being upgraded, the platform. The reports themselves will not change. Here's an overview of what we will go through this afternoon. We will look at some of the elements of the upgraded platform. We will review the types of reports that are accessible via Intelligence Connect. We'll look at some of the resources and tools that are available to assist you in accessing Intelligence Connect and running reports. We will review how to access the reports and run them. And then we'll also go over some reminders and best practices while using Intelligence Connect. And finally, we will review who to contact if there are any issues or questions. Intelligence Connect upgrade. As we said, there's an updated user interface which contains some new functionality. Some of these changes include a new homepage. The homepage is tab-based. It's now tab-based. So when you run a report or open a new document within Intelligence Connect, each of these reports or documents will open in a new tab. There are some changes to navigation, so how you access and the steps that you take to get to certain things have changed, and we will go over those. And there are also some changes to the naming conventions of some of the items, the functionality items. With the upgrade, there's also some improved performance. New hardware and servers are being installed as part of the upgrade. Some general information. There are a variety of reports that are available on Intelligence Connect. These reports include registration data as well as claims data. Intelligence Connect is accessible via Provider Connect, and we'll go over that on once you're in Provider Connect, where to go to access the reports. All of the reports within Intelligence Connect are ran on demand. What that means is you can access the reports, input the parameters that you want for the data that you review on the reports at any time and schedule when you want those reports to run. And the data that is available within the reports in Intelligence Connect is refreshed and is available each Monday morning. Registration reporting. There are two registration data sets, and we consider these data dumps of information. And this is all of the information that is entered during the consumer's registration process. These data sets are split into two separate reports. One of them contains clinical information, while the other contains enrollment information. There's a suite of active consumer registration reports, and these reports include consumer registrations that are active on the date that the reports ran. There is a set of closed consumer registration reports, and these reports reflect registrations that are closed within a date range, and that date range is something that you input when you're running the report. There's a set of expiring consumer registration, and these reports reflect any registrations that are expiring within a certain number of days. And again, that number of days is something that you input when you're scheduling the report to run. And finally, there is a set of open expired consumer registration reports. And these reports reflect any consumer registrations that are expired but have not yet been closed in the system. Claims reporting. There are two folders that contain claims reports within Intelligence Connect, and those are claims reporting and HFS claims reporting. The reports that are included in the claims reporting folder reflect any claims that were submitted to Value Options, and these are claims that have a submission date before July 1st, 2011. Any claims that were submitted to HFS are included in the HFS claims reporting folder. These reports reflect claims that have a submission date on or after July 1st, 2011. Resources and tools. There are a number of resources and tools that are available. They're available on both the collaborative website as well as within Intelligence Connect. And these include a tip sheet for collaborative reporting. And this is a PDF document that contains step-by-step instructions on how to access Intelligence Connect and how to run reports. There are a set of data set field description documents. And these documents are a detail of all of the fields included in each of the data set reports. And those include claims, HFS claims, and clinical and enrollment for registration. Here's a sample of the documents. Those also are in PDF format. And these documents list a common title for the report, so each of the fields that are contained within the report, a description of what's contained in those fields, as well as any additional information to help you determine and decipher the information that's being presented on the report. And then finally, there's a report listing an overview. And this provides a listing of each of the folder locations within Intelligence Connect and gives a brief description of each of the reports that are available in those folders. Accessing reports. As we said, you can access the reporting platform. Once you log into Provider Connect, on the left-hand side, there is a link that says Reports. When you click on the Reports link, it takes you to the Intelligence Connect Home tab. And this is one of the changes to the new upgraded platform, is this Home tab. There are four new elements within the Home tab, and those are the My Recently Viewed Documents, and that will list all of the most recently viewed documents that you have accessed within Intelligence Connect. There is an Unread Messages inbox, and this includes any reports that are scheduled that you have scheduled to go to your inbox within Intelligence Connect. Those will all display here. There is a Recently Run Documents box, and this shows links to any of the recently ran documents that you have run within the system. And then there is the Unread Alerts box. And as processes that you have scheduled, reports that you have scheduled, as those processes are kicked off, you will see an alert in this box showing you that you have reports that are running. Then in this upper left-hand corner, you'll see the tabs that we had discussed a little bit earlier. The new system is tab-based, so that when you log into Intelligence Connect, the Home tab is what you access first. It takes you directly there. And this is one of the changes in navigation, is this Documents tab. So in order to access the folders within Intelligence Connect that contain the reports, you will click on this Documents tab. And that takes you to the documents. And this, again, is another change in our navigation. You'll notice that you don't necessarily see the folders here that contain the reports. If you go down to the bottom left-hand side, there is a folders link with a folders submenu, and to access those folders, you simply click on the word folders, and that expands that menu. And now this is the same as the current system, where to expand these folders, you would click on the plus signs next to each of the folders, and you want to expand these to get to the Illinois Service Center. So we'll click on the plus sign next to public folders. And then all of the reports that you have access to are within the IL Provider Connect folder. And as you see off to the right-hand side here in this main pane here, these are all of the field description and resource documents that are accessible to you to help you in understanding your reports and how to run reports. And these are all PDF documents that you can open and access. So for today's purposes, for example, we're going to be utilizing the HFS Claims Reporting folder. So now your next step is going to be to click on this folder, the folder that you want to access. And that brings up a screen where it lists, off to the right-hand side, it lists all of the reports that are available within that folder. And we're going to be reviewing the Illinois Claims Detailed Dataset HFS report. Once you have selected, clicked on the report that you want to view, the report that you want to run, you will right-click, and then you will click on Schedule. And that takes you to the Schedule Instance screen. And this is similar to what we've done in the past, and it might look like there are a lot of elements for you to complete to run the report, but there really are only three that you need to focus on, and those are recurrence. That is where you designate when you want the report to run. There is the prompt, and the prompt was formerly known as parameters, so that's another change with the new system. But the prompt is where you enter the data that you want to see returned on the report. And then finally, formats. Formats is where you designate the output of the report data. You can select reports to output into PDF format, Excel format, and text. Those are the most popular. So the first thing you're going to do is click on Recurrence, and that will take you to the Recurrence screen. Now, on the recurrent screen, this Run Object drop-down list, it defaults to Now. So when you first go to this screen, that'll say Now. And if you just want the report to run one time immediately, you can leave that as is. However, you can click on the drop-down list to select when you want the report to run. You can set the reports up to run on a scheduled basis. And we always suggest that it's the best practice to run each of the reports, to run them weekly, as data within the system is only updated once a week. So in this drop-down list, if you select weekly, you would select then which day of the week you want the report to run. And here in this example, we've selected Tuesday. You enter the start date and time. So this report will run beginning at 4:39 p.m. on September 12th, and it will run every Tuesday through January of 2023. Now, at this point, it's very important to not click on schedule yet. What you want to do is you want to move down into the next screen that you need to complete before you schedule the report. So the next thing that you do is you will click on prompt. And again, this was formerly known as parameters in the current system. And the look to this screen is also a little bit different than what we've seen in the past, but the thought is still the same. This is where you enter the data that you want to see returned on the report. And the important thing is once you've entered all of your data, you want to make sure that none of these scheduling values display empty. You want to make sure that you've entered a value to return in each of these parameters. So in order to access the parameter and input the data that you want returned on the report, you simply click on the empty value, and it will take you to the prompt type. And next we're going to review some of the different prompt types. For this example, this is the enter the provider number prompt type. And when you log in with your provider submitter ID, you only have access to view that data that is for your provider agency. So for this prompt screen, what you will do is you will select the asterisk that is listed in the available values. And as you can see in the description, you select the asterisk for all. You click on that asterisk. You then click on the arrow next to it, and it moves that value into the selected values box. There are other prompts that you can do this for, and those are for this particular report, and those are service code and consumer RIN. So once you have your selected values, you'll go ahead and click on OK. And now we have another prompt here, and as I said, this is service code. And what you can do here is you can, if you want to view all of the service codes for the claims that you're pulling back, you would go ahead again and click on the asterisk, click on the arrow so that it displays in the selected values. You also have the option to select or to enter multiple values to pull back. So in this example, we're looking to see only these two service codes. So we're looking only for ACT and CS services. So what you do at this point is in the enter a value box, you enter that service code number. So you'll enter H0039. You click on the arrow next to that enter a value box, and that will display the value in your selected values. For the next service code that you want to display on the report, you enter that value in here again. So you would enter the H2015, click on the arrow, and it displays here. One item to note on this, if you are entering multiple values, you want to make sure that you enter each one separately. So you'll enter your first service code, click on the arrow, so it displays. Enter your next service code, click on the arrow, so that it displays in the selected values. What you want to shy away from is entering all of the values together at one point, because it needs them as separate entries in order to pull back that data correctly on the report. Again, you're going to click on OK. And the next type of prompt that we have is a pick list prompt or a drop-down list prompt. And for this particular report, it's the date type. So when you get to a pick list prompt, you simply click on the drop-down arrow, to view the values that you can select. And for this instance, we selected service date. And again, once you have that selected, you click on OK. The next type of prompt we'll be reviewing is the date value prompt. Most reports within Intelligence Connect run off of a specific time frame that you designate when you're running the report. And for dates, you always want to be sure to pay attention to the format that the report is looking for. For this instance, the description says enter start date, and the format is a four-digit year, a two-digit month, and a two-digit day. So if we wanted to pull back July 1st, 2013, as we have in this example, you enter that date as 2013-0701. Once you have all of the prompts completed, and you can verify that by looking in this scheduling value, and make sure that there's a value in each of these and that none of them say empty. At this point, you can do one of two things. As long as you have all of the data completed for the prompts, you can go ahead at this point and click on schedule. However, if you want to designate a specific type of file format for the report to output into, you would click on format. The reason why formats is optional is because all of the reports that are available within Intelligence Connect have been reviewed, and the type of data that we output has been reviewed to determine what file format makes the most sense for the data that we're presenting. So if you do not want to change the file format, at this point you can just click on schedule. We'll go ahead and review the format screen. And once you get to the format screen, there's a drop-down list. And these are some of the examples of the file format that you can output the report into. All of the reports within Intelligence Connect automatically output either into Excel or PDF, again, based on the data that's being presented. If you select one of these values, there is a list or some type of prompt or details that you'll need to complete before you move on. And then once you have your format selected, at this point you can go ahead and click on schedule. This will take you to your history screen. And within the history screen, you will see all of the report instances that you have ran. The status here will show you what status your report is in. Some of those statuses, when you first click on schedule and you first come to this screen, that initial status you'll see will typically be pending. So it tells you that your report is pending to run. To refresh this status, there's a refresh button up above the type column, and it's those two arrows. You click on that button to refresh your report status, and that, depending on the amount of data that you're pulling back and how long it takes that report to run, you could see it in a running status. That means that your report is running. But ultimately, what you want to see is that this report status says success. So again, you would continue to click on refresh until you see success. Once you've seen that the report status is successful, this instance time, which is the first column off to your left, that is a link to the report that has completed. So when you click on that link, it will open up the report in the file format that you have designated. And you can see here it has these have the little Excel icon next to them. So when you open this report, it will open in Excel. And this is the Claims Detailed Dataset HFS report. And here is a sample of once you run that report, what that report will look like. And this report does export into Excel automatically. Quick steps for running a report. I always like to say that this slide is the most important in the training because it gives you a quick, brief, down and dirty overview of what you need to do to run the report. So just as a review, once you're in Intelligence Connect, you navigate to the Document tab and then the Folders section, which is on the bottom left. You want to expand the folders to select and select the report that you want to run. You will right-click on the report name and select Schedule. You will click on Prompts to complete all of the prompts. If necessary, you can change the format output and click on Schedule. Some reminders for running reports in Intelligence Connect. The reports that you run and the instances are available for 1 week, which is 7 days. So what this means is for 1 week, you can view the reports that you have ran, and they will be on that history screen. What we like to suggest is that you save the report to your PC in the event you need to reference it beyond the 1 week time frame. You want to make sure that there are no empty prompts when running a report. And what we see typically that this is the most common cause for failed reports is that not all of the prompts have been completed. You want to be sure to enter the prompts in the format that is indicated. And this is mostly specific to date formats. You want to make sure that you're entering the date in the format that it's being asked for. Remember that the data is refreshed weekly and is available. Refresh data is available each Monday morning. When you're scheduling a report to run on a recurring instance, we'd like to see that you run those reports only once a week. And then there's the documentation, those resources and tools that are available. And they are available within Intelligence Connect, right in the root of the IL the IL Service Center folder. Those resources and tools are also available within the Illinois Mental Health Collaborative website. And within the website, you would click on, once you get to the Illinois Mental Health Collaborative website, you click on For Providers. And then on the left-hand side, there is a provider information link. Then once you get to the provider information page, you can scroll down, and there is a reporting heading. And all of the tools and resources that are available to assist you with Intelligence Connect are here, are listed here. And those are just links to simply open those documents. Support, who to contact. If you have any questions or if there are any issues within Intelligence Connect, you can contact the eSupport Help Desk, and their phone number is 888-247-9311. They can also be contacted via email at e-supportservices@valueoptions.com. Any questions that are out of the scope for the eSupport Help Desk will be forwarded to the collaborative reporting staff for resolution.
Thank you, Cheryl. Eric, we are ready to begin taking questions now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. Please unmute your line and record your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. And to withdraw your request, you may press star and then two. One moment, please, for the first question. Once again, that's star one to ask a question. You will be prompted to record your name. And we have a question, ma'am. Let me just get the person for you. Our first question comes from the line of Mr. Alan Kirtlink. Sir, your line is still open.
Yes, thank you. Is there any way to set a dynamic date for the date the report's going to be run?
Hi, Alan. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Sure. Well, we have a scheduling option in here, but if you can't have it automatically, say, update the date in the scheduled report to only run for new records received since the last week, there's really no point to scheduling a claims report, is there, if it's going to always run for a date that you had to hard code in?
If I understand, Alan, in the scheduled instance, you will input a start and an end date. Say, for instance, you want to pull back all of the data that had dates of service for fiscal year 13. You would enter July 1st through June 30th. But there is no way to only pull back what's been entered since the last report run, if that's your question.
Yes, so you'll always have to re-download that same information and then just ignore it when you do an import into another system.
Yes, that is correct.
Very good. Thank you.
Sure.
Our next question comes from the line of Ms. Sonia Crowder. Ma'am, you may proceed.
Hi, I'm Sonia. I'm calling from the Independence Center in Waukegan. I have three questions, actually. I'm wondering if there's a place where we can run a report to find claims that we've submitted to HFS, but we're not finding on our data set anywhere, approved or denied. Or is there someone we should call at HFS about those claims?
Any claims that you would see within these Intelligence Connect reports are claims that have been fully processed by HFS.
Okay.
Mary, is there a way for them to do that on the MEDI system within HFS?
You can always go and look up, you know, as I'm sure you know, you can always select a small sample and then go on to the MEDI system and take a look and see if you can find them there. The other thing to do is to call the HFS billing consultants.
Okay,
and they can probably check into that for you as well.
Okay, great. And then my second question is, on your data set when we download it, the received date is the date that you received that from HFS or the date that we billed it originally?
The received date is the date that HFS received the claim from the provider.
Okay, great. That's what I needed to know. And I think that's it for me.
Okay. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Cheryl, there is, as you were saying, there's a document that defines the fields, correct?
Yes, there is. And it's on the collaborative website, and it's also within Intelligence Connect, right in the root of that first folder in that IL Service Center folder. And this is a sample of that document where it lists all of the columns that are included within the detailed data set, a description of each of those fields, and then a little bit more information to help you determine or decipher what the data is that's being presented.
Great. Thank you.
At this point, we don't have any questions on queue. Once again, to ask a question, please press star and then one. You will be prompted to record your name.
Well, operator, it sounds like there are no additional questions.
Ma'am, excuse me. We have another question coming from the line
okay.
of Mr. Alan Kerlick. Would you like to address it, ma'am?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Kerlick, your line is now open.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't think to ask this one before. I have noticed when I've run these reports in the past that the line number always returns one. Is that a known issue with the system, or is that possibly just something that is only happening to us?
No, Alan, you bring up a good point. The line number for HFS, and Mary, correct me if I'm wrong, but HFS only processes one line per claim. You know, I know that you saw different with the value options process claims, there would be more than one line. But typically what we see is for each DCN number, which would be the claim number on an HFS process claim, there is only one line.
Gotcha. And the I don't have the document in front of me that outlines all of the fields, but there's one that the provider, the ID that we assign to each record submitted.
The provider reference number?
Yes. What is that? How many characters does that allow?
It used to only allow 10, but then and more recently within the last several months, the report has been updated to accommodate, I believe that's now a 20-digit field, and the
Excellent.
Report has also been updated to accommodate those 20 digits.
Excellent. Great, because, yeah, I know the official spec had it larger when I first started submitting, and mine were getting truncated down to 10. So that's good to know that that's been updated. Thank you.
Yes, sure.
And we have another question coming from the line of Ms. Sonia Crowder. Ma'am, you may proceed. Ms. Crowder, your line is now open. Hello? Yes, ma'am. Your line is open for the question.
Sorry, we had on a mute. I'm wondering if there's any way to determine off of the data set if a claim is an initial claim or if it is a rebuild claim, or do they only show the claim one time on the data set in total?
The data set includes all claims, and you will see you will see any adjustments, any voids, any paid claims. If the claim is resubmitted, I would have to validate the fields and get back to you on whether or not we show if it is a rebill.
Yeah,
but certainly the claim itself would show because, like
okay.
I said, it does pull back all of the claims.
Right. I'm just wondering if it shows it on there twice if it was rebilled. Like in the case of spend downs, when we go and we, you know, at the end of the quarter, we bill all the spend down people. If that claim will just show one time on there, or if it will show once in denied and then once in paid.
It would show once in denied and once in paid because each claim, even if it is a rebill, the DCN number on the claim is not the same.
Right.
So
okay.
It'll be a different DCN. It'll be the more current DCN for that paid.
Right. So it will show more than once. That
yes,
answers my question. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
And at this point, ma'am, that was the last question on queue.
Okay. Great. Thank you. So this is Mary Smith again. So I did want to just take this opportunity to remind folks of a couple of things. You know, Cheryl, during her presentation, did show a list of registration reports that are available. And occasionally I've heard people say that, you know, they don't know if their registrations have been accepted until they get a rejected claim. And so I hope that, you know, during the presentation you did notice that you can actually generate a list that shows the active registrations. If you're curious about which registrations are coming up on an expiration date, there's a report that you can run where you can actually specify the number of days out that you want to look, you know, to create more or less a tickler file. And then there's also the report that shows registrations that have been closed. So hopefully you'll find these reports helpful in helping you to monitor who needs to be re-registered or perhaps even which registrations did not make it through, which ones were not accepted. You know, there are other reports, of course, that are generated. You know, if you submit a file with registrations, you do get feedback also immediately telling you which registrations have been accepted and which ones were unsuccessful. So just a reminder to always check those. The claims reports are typically used much more than the registration reports, so I think most people are aware of how that report can be used. But, you know, again, as Cheryl demonstrated in her slides, you can generate reports showing which claims have been denied, and you can generate reports showing the entire claims detailed data set. Some providers have told us it's really helpful to be able to generate the file with the denied claims because then that helps you do some troubleshooting so that you can go ahead and submit clean claims as soon as possible. And we all know that you want to do that because, you know, with the new edits that are in force, we need to pay attention to that and make sure that we get a clean claim through within 180 days of the service. So with that, you know, thanks again for joining us this afternoon. Chris, you have a few closing remarks?
Yes, thanks, Mary. Today's call audio and presentation will be posted under the Provider Resources heading on the Provider Information page of the Collaborative's website. The audio will be in MP3 format and ready for download within 2 to 3 business days. I also wanted to remind everyone that we value your feedback, so please take a few minutes to complete the brief survey that will appear when you close out of the online forum. And thanks, everyone, for your time, and that will be the end of today's webinar.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.